God, I pray this morning that you will be with Brother Aaron as he brings a message to us. To, Lord, give him words to speak to each heart here this morning. Father, we thank you for the two young people that's here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with them as they're starting their lives off. The Lord, to just lead, guide, and direct them in your way. We ask you, Lord, to be with Miss Leslie as she does her song leading, and be with Miss Evelyn as she plays the piano. Lord, we appreciate the people here that do so much work. We ask you, Lord, again to forgive us where we fail and be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Song. Good singing this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. When I ask a question this morning, are you on the way? And I will call Leslie. Sometimes on Sunday morning, because I'm always afraid she's going. You know, I get up, I'm gone before she even gets up on Sunday mornings, and so I'm worried she's going to oversleep. So I call just about every Sunday. I say, "Are you on your way to church?" All of us have lots of different trips that we take throughout life. And some we enjoy and look forward to, others are not really fun but necessary. But trips are a part of life. But the thing is as we get ready for a trip, and even as we're taking a trip, we need to make sure that we're going the right direction and that we're going to the right place. And so that's what I want to think about this morning. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 21 this morning. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will also see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So as we think about Jesus' words as he's entering this, he's about to be crucified on the cross when he utters these words. He had just instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room with his disciples. They'd celebrated the Passover feast. And you remember Jesus gets up from the table and, you know, takes his coat off and wraps a towel around his waist and washes his disciples' feet. And so he's continuing on that conversation, and he says some things that are very strange, and at the same time, very profound. When he asks his disciples, you need to be on the way. And they, in typical disciple fashion, said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to get there? And so Jesus addresses that. And so the first thing I want to see as we look at this chapter is that Jesus makes a promise to help us on the way. He begins in verse, he said, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. He knew he was the time for his crucifixion, the reason why he came, had come, that his hour now was. And listen, anytime we lose someone that we love and care about, it makes us sad, doesn't it? Even if we know that person was a believer and they're in heaven with God and we have that assurance and that does help us some, but we still miss them and we're still sad. And so Jesus is saying, listen, don't be sad. Don't let your heart be troubled. He said, listen, in my house are many mansions, and just let me tell you, he was not promising us a million-dollar homestead that we could call our own. It wasn't that we were going to have this great palace all to ourselves, but rather the idea is much more important and much more wonderful. Because when our English translation, the word they use is mansion, the Greek word that Jesus used as he spoke to his disciples was a word that means rooms. And that is the idea of what Jesus, not that there would be up in heaven for all eternity, a gazillion mansions dotting the hillside. But rather, Jesus said, there's one great big mansion with a whole lot of rooms. And we will live together. He said, Jesus will be, the Son will be there, the Father will be there, Holy Spirit will be there, the saints will be there. And by the way, that's a good reminder. Jesus says, listen, you better get along here on earth, because you're not only going to spend a few minutes with each other in eternity, you're going to be there forever. So you better learn to get along now when, you know, it's good practice for us. And there's not a Baptist mansion and a Methodist mansion and a Catholic mansion. There's one mansion. And we're all going to be living there together, and there's not a white mansion and a black mansion and a Chinese mansion and a African. No, there's one mansion. And we're all going to live there together. A great thing, there's not going to be any suffering there. There's no heartache there. There'll be no sickness. A lot of it, look forward to, no sick days in heaven. No flu. No COVID, no anything, no paralysis. Those that can't walk here on earth will be able to run in heaven. There'll be no blindness in heaven that will see perfectly. And there won't even be any off-key singers in heaven, that when we get to heaven, all of a sudden our voices are going to be magically transformed and we'll be able to sing on key. Amen. But so Jesus makes the promise, and the promise is not that we're going to be wealthy. The promise is not that we're going to have everything we want. The promise is he's going to be with us and that we'll be with him. You see, we've gotten a very wrong idea about what success in the Christian life is. Success for the Christian is not a bunch of money. It's not a bunch of titles. It's not, you know, that we've been baptized or that we have all these little things that we can check off our spiritual to-do list. Say, hey, listen, look at all these things that I've done. Listen, I got more checks than you do. Ha, ha, ha. That's not what it's about. What it's about and what's important and what the ultimate goal is not to make a name for ourselves, but to make a name for Jesus. And our desire, if Jesus has changed our life and he's made a difference in us and we say that we're his, then that means that changes how we live our life. You see, we mix up the recipe for salvation. We think that we can clean ourselves up, we can do right, and then we'll get right with God. Can I tell you that works exactly zero times? Can't do it. If we could fix ourselves and if we could be perfect, Jesus would not have had to come. But the reality is we're all broken and we're all sinful and we're all sick with this disease called sin. And Jesus said, I love you so much, I'm going to come and I'm going to pay your sin debt for you, that where I am, there you can be also. And so Jesus gives us a promise that he's going to be with us. He also gives us a promise that he'll listen to us. He says a couple of times, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, it's not like some of these TV preachers and some others that will say, hey, listen, that means you just got to name it and claim it, brother. If you want something, just say it and buy George. That's a bunch of hooey. That's crazy. That is not at all what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying is, as you pray, and if you're walking with me, and your prayer life is in alignment with me, the things you pray for are the things that I want to give you anyway, and so you're going to get them. And so Jesus is telling us that, listen, it's not about cleaning yourself up. The things that you do, we cannot be good enough to merit salvation. But when Jesus comes in and changes us, and we give our life to him, and he becomes our Lord and Savior, then we're able to do good stuff. You see, you are not saved by good works because you don't have any. But when Jesus comes into your life and the Holy Spirit therefore comes into your life, then Jesus, you can do good things. And you do good things. He said, listen, this is how you know that you're my disciple. You follow my commandments. And Jesus was not saying that salvation comes by doing. What Jesus was saying is, if you're saved, you have the ability to do what God tells you and wants you to do. Something you can't possibly do by yourself. Every one of us, you think about growing up, every kid, we have at least every once in a while, especially around Christmas, boy, you better believe teachers can see it in December. Boy, their behavior gets a whole lot better. And they're really watching it, all of us as kids, we say, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. I'm not going to get grounded this whole month. I'm going to do everything mom says to do. And we have that intention. But we all know what happens. Something comes, and those things that we intend to do, we do just the opposite. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he wrestles with that same thing. He said, I know what I want to do, the good and right things, but when it comes time to act, I find myself doing the very things that I hate. But here's the thing, Jesus makes us a promise. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He said, I will be with you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. And just, can I tell you, God intends for you to live a joy-filled and a loving life here on earth. But that doesn't mean that it's pain-free and problem-free and temptation, because it's not. We all know that. In fact, the reality is when you make a determination you're going to serve the Lord, the temptations come more readily and they come harder. Doesn't make sense, but that we all know that to be the way it is. But Jesus said, I will be with you and I will help you. Jesus said, the answer is in him. So Jesus makes us a promise, but then lastly, Jesus shows us the path. He shows us how to do it. And notice, he didn't say, listen, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to have that reality, and listen, if you were to ask anybody, do you want to go to heaven? There are an occasional few wackos that will say, no, I really don't want to go to heaven. Most everybody says, yes, I want to go. I want to be there. But can I tell you the reality? Not everybody's going to be there. Now, I'll also tell you, there'll be some people that are there that are going to surprise you. Amen. And there will probably be some people not there that will surprise you as well. Because it's not about what we do. It's about whether we belong to Jesus or whether we don't. That's the only thing that really matters, is if we have Jesus. So Jesus says, hey, you want to get to that eternal mansion and where I am? This is how you do it. You keep my commandments. And so he says in the Gospel of John as well, he said, listen, you're going to say later on, no greater love has this than a man lay his life down for his friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did for me and for you. So Jesus has shown us from the beginning of the Gospel of John till the end, it's Jesus showing us the path to be on the way. And that path is not by keeping a bunch of lists of things to check off. But when we love Jesus and when we're following him, we do different things than the world does. We live differently. We have different priorities. We have a great church. I'm thankful for our church. I think we have one of the most loving churches in Pearl. But also, there's a lot of other good churches in Pearl and in Rankin County. But I can tell you one thing. There's not one of churches that doesn't have a few empty seats. They're busted at the seat and there's no room for other people. Every church in Pearl has some room for folks. And there's also lots of folks with their cars in their driveway this morning that maybe live right next door to a church or right down the street from a church. And yet they don't go. Well, Aaron, I thought you said it wasn't about doing stuff that gets us to heaven. And it's not. Listen, you could come to church you could be in this building every single day of the week and be lost as a goose. Because it's not about the building. It's about the person this building worships and represents. It's about Jesus. And here's the thing. When you have Jesus in your heart, you want to be near him and you want to be with other believers. The path. So we do the things Jesus did. We give. You know, Christians give more to charity than others. And by the way, that's how it's supposed to be. Do we give so that we can be saved? Listen, you can't buy your way into heaven. But when Jesus Christ has given you a free ticket, and you've got that ticket punched, if you will, because Jesus gave, you give. Not so that we can buy it, but not so that we can be saved, but because we are. Jesus also gave the commandment that you love one another. Christians should be the most loving people. In fact, loving those that don't love them back. You see, if we only show love to those that give it back, we really aren't giving love. Maybe favor, but definitely not love. When family members are able to say, you know, I forgive the person that killed my loved one or did something bad, you know what? Really, the only way anybody can do that is because they have first been forgiven and they know the love of God. Now, the reality is none of us are perfect. There's not one of us that has this straight line to heaven. Now, the path is straight. The way is straight. But because we're human beings, we take the straight path and we put more zigs and zags and U-turns than you could ever believe. It's just like the children of Israel that went from Egypt to Canaan. It should have been about a month's journey. You remember how long it took them to get there? 40 years, and the great majority of them that started didn't make it to the end of the trip. And it's not because God didn't want them to. It's because they wouldn't go the way God told them to go. So Jesus lays out the path. He said, listen, it's not about doing this and doing that and doing this. But he said, if we are on that path, these things are going to be true of our life. That we're not going to be so self-centered. That we're not going to be selfish. That we're going to be giving and forgiving. And that we're going to love others, even love our enemies. Can I tell you, that's something very hard to do. All of you, it's easy most of the time to love you. Now, we all have our moments where it gets a little difficult, but most of the time, all of you are pretty lovely people. But there are some folks that it's just hard to love them. And I tell you, those are the ones that need our love the most and need Jesus the most. And so Jesus says, listen, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he said, listen, if as you're keeping my commandments, as you're walking the path, including the detours and taking some on-ramps and off-ramps you're not supposed to take, and you're heading to me, not only are you making it to that mansion, but you're showing others the way too. You're showing others how to get there. And so that as you love me and I love you, people see that and say, oh, listen, if Jesus can love that numbskull, I'm not near as bad as he is. Surely Jesus can love me too. And the great thing about the gospel and what Jesus tells us, it doesn't matter how many times you've blown it. The way to him is simple and clear. It's by simply reaching out to him. And saying like Peter did when he was walking on the water, you remember earlier in the Gospels. You remember he cried out, he was walking on water, took his eyes off of Jesus, put it on the waves, and what happened? He began to sink. Did he drown? No, he didn't drown. He cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out, picked him up, saved him from drowning, and then they got on the boat. So the reality is Jesus makes us this promise that he's going to be with us and that he wants to have an eternity with us and that he's going to be with us. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that's going to be with you. And by the way, that's the only way any of us have any hope is with the Holy Spirit working in us. Because when we are left to our own devices, we do a really good job of making a mess of things. And it's only by listening to God's Spirit and letting him empower us that we make it how we're supposed to. And so this morning I ask as we wrap up, are you on the way? Are you headed to Jesus? Are you headed for that eternal home? I hope you can say, you know what, I am on my way. You haven't arrived yet, so you're not perfect yet. There are still things for you to do and things for the Lord to teach you. And that's why we're still here. But if we belong to Jesus, he says, one day you'll leave this old world and you'll come where I am. And the way is following Jesus. Not following the preacher, not following some denomination, not certainly not following your own way. The way is following Jesus. And the way we get there is not by crafting up our, you know, schemes or thinking of new, you know, ways that we... It's simply by going the path that Jesus told us to go. And so if you're not on that path, then I encourage you, no matter where you're at, maybe you started the path and you've taken a wrong exit, here's the thing. John tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He not only forgives us, but He restores us. We can't do it ourselves, but Jesus will do it for us if we will let Him. We all know that there were some, there were 12 men that started the journey that Jesus called as His disciples, and they were His circle. We know from John 13 that we looked at last week, not all 12 made it to the end. They started on the path. All 12 of them did. They had the same teachings, had the same opportunities, heard Jesus tell them all the exact same thing, and yet one chose to go off and exit and look after his own interests. And by the way, Scripture said, you know, that was, God knew that was going to happen. In fact, back in the Old Testament, it says it's going to happen. It wasn't because God made Judas do that. Judas chose to take the exit. But God knew that he was going to do it. Jesus could have stopped him, but you remember what Jesus' response is? What you've determined you're going to do, go and do it quickly. So Jesus shows us the way, but it's up to us to walk that way and to take that path. And the great thing is, Jesus said, listen, I'll be with you, but the great thing is, not only is Jesus with us and not only is the Holy Spirit with us, but God has given us a community of faith to help walk with us, so that we really are not alone. That we have brothers and sisters that will help us walk and will give us encouragement when we need it, give us correction when we need it. He'll give us, hey, listen, numbskull, you're going the wrong way. Turn, it's this way. Hey, Carl, that's the women's room. The men's room's over here. God has given us Himself, He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's given us other believers to help us on the path. But it still is up to us to decide we're going to walk the path, that we're going to be on the way. So let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. And we thank You for the wonderful and amazing thing of the gospel, this great thing called grace. Lord, that You do give us promises that You will be with us, that You'll be with us, that You'll provide for us. Lord, if we will take that first step of faith, that You will come the rest of the way. And Lord, if there's one here today, they've never trusted in You, they've never started that journey, would You help them today? Lord, salvation is free and the way is simple, just simply acknowledging that we are sinners and we need help. And recognizing that You are the Savior of the world, that You shed Your innocent blood for our sin debt. And all we have to do to receive new life and to be able to walk that path is to accept that free gift that You've given. Or maybe there's one of Your children here today, Lord, that are saved. Or maybe they've gotten on a bad exit. Lord, today You would call them to come home. That You would tell them, hey, listen, let's get a U-turn. Let's get back on the right path. Lord, thank You that not only are You with us and we have the Holy Spirit with us, but You've given us brothers and sisters, a Christian family, to help us as well. Lord, our prayer is you would help us to be your hands and feet, and that you would help us to walk on your path. We wouldn't walk our path, but we would walk your path. That's the road we want to be on. Help us to do that, we pray. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, there's a decision you need to make. Good idea while God's speaking to you and asking you to make a decision for you to do it right now. Maybe you need to come to one of these old altars and pray. Maybe you just need where you're standing or seated this morning. Speak to God and do business with Him. But as we sing, would you do business with God? My prayer, Lord, don't pass me. I don't want God to pass me over. I want to be right in the middle of what God has for me. And Jesus, remember, say, if you want what God has for you, do what I've done. Follow my command. In other words, follow my directions. Go the way I told you to go. That's what the answer is. It's simple. It's not hidden. We don't need some deciphering code to figure out what it is. It's not hard to know what it is. It is hard to do it, though. But it's not hard to know what we're supposed to do. And with God's help, we can do what He's asked us to do. So let's sing together.
Pass me now.
God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Remember all those announcements in the bulletin, please. Remember, they'll be praying for those that are sick. Pray for those traveling. They'll be back safe with us. Encourage you Wednesday night. Come join us as we continue our Bible study in the book of Genesis. We're going to sing our benediction hymn, and then Brother George dismiss us in prayer, please.